this year, in a year that actually began with pretty good snowpack, more than 8.8 million acres of forest burned in our country. The number 20, 30 years ago was 2 to 3 million. So the percentage of the U.S. Forest Service budget that they're spending on fighting fires went from 15% in the 1980s to over 50% today. It's money that's being diverted from programs that would actually restore the forest, make them healthier, improve wildlife habitat, reduce the risks of fire because you're managing the forest better. And so we're basically stealing from the future to fight these fires today, even though the actions that we're taking are actually making the fires in subsequent years much, much worse than they would be if we were doing more restoration work.
Does the new budget cut funding for the Forest Service?
The president's budget proposed a 20% cut. Where they are now is basically flat. The Congress, in a bipartisan way, completely rejected most of those proposed cuts.
I'm sure you're familiar with a bill that was introduced by the representative for our district here, Scott Tipton. It's called the Forest Resiliency Act, and it's all about thinning forests. But does thinning forests really help?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of bills introduced, and Congressman Tipton's is one of them. I mean, there are places where removing small diameter trees, removing dead trees, can be extremely beneficial for the health of a forest. I feel that we're better off having local groups come together in these kind of collaborative processes to try to figure out what makes the most sense. We think that bill goes a little too far, kind of having a one-size-fits-all solution. But we're excited that Republicans and Democrats are both talking about the need to have more funding for restoring our forests and coming up with ideas for how to manage them better.
And in the report, it mentions that fire seasons are averaging 78 days longer in the United States than they were in 1970. And a lot of the report comes down to climate change and the very real effects that it's having on drying vegetation and lengthening the dry season. Do you think that this is being understood? You're in Washington now speaking with senators. Is there more recognition across the board that climate change is a real threat?
I do think there's a recognition that things are changing rapidly and that climate change is a contributor. I mean, I've testified before the U.S. Senate on these fires just a few weeks ago. I got questions from both Republicans and Democrats about the climate impact because they're seeing summers that are drier and hotter than before. They're seeing species like bark beetles coming further and further south, less precipitation in different parts of the country and prolonged droughts and kind of water scarcity. And it's hard to deny those realities. They're kind of scientific facts. I think there's still a disagreement in the U.S. Congress around the causes of all of it. But the point that we keep making is that this is the new reality, and that we're seeing more fires. They're burning hotter. They're burning larger. They're burning longer than ever before. Fire is a great management technique in a lot of places to do prescribed burns. Fire can be completely rejuvenating for forests. That's not what we're talking about here. I mean, these fires are so much bigger than anything we've seen before that we have to get at both the short-term actions, like restoring our forests better, and then we also take some long-term action, like the pollution that's exacerbating climate impacts.
I thought that one part of the report that was really interesting is how it differentiates between these low-intensity burns, which are natural and very important to the ecosystem of forests, and these mega fires that completely decimate the landscape and burn all of these surface seedlings.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate combination of several factors. I think it's years and years of not investing in restoration, which have left our forests in worse condition. It is climate impact. And then you have invasive species on top of that. We've really created a mess where there are policy solutions, but we're going to have to make some short-term investments and make sure we're investing that ounce of prevention. Now, we have to be much smarter as a country about the way we manage our forests and making sure we're not putting folks in harm's way.
I thought it was also interesting that looking forward, if we are going to implement these restoration burns, we actually really need to look at the species composition and the genetic variability and sort of account for climate change. We can't just go back on historic patterns. We actually have to start to account for dramatic changes in the climate.
If we're restoring forests, we should actually be planning for the future. And that might mean that the range of some trees is moving further south because temperatures are increasing. And so it's kind of forcing populations. We should be planning for invasive species that are entering some of these ecosystems. And so again, managing for the future so we have a much more resilient forest 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, as opposed to trying to restore it back to the way it was in the 1950s.
Well, thank you so much, Colin, for talking to us about this issue. And we wish you luck in Washington.
Thanks, Raleigh.